Session number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, Reel 10.
Sergeant White, Reel 10. What happened after you'd played in the victory parade at Tripoli?
Well, we stayed there for about another month, and we travelled up and down the coast playing to the troops in the area. Unfortunately, I had another bad bout of malaria, and as we had a bandmaster with us, this is the first time I actually went sick.
First time in your career that you've gone sick?
With the malaria.
With the malaria?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was put in one of these field hospitals.
What did they do with you in there?
Well, they must have captured some German medical supplies, because it was the first time I had any medicine at all, they gave me pills, which was atabrine.
Did that work for you?
It did work. And after about a week, I was discharged from the hospital. I made sure I didn't get sent to some camp where you get posted away anywhere. I went straight back to the band.
How did you manage to do that?
I just went.
You just walked out and went to the band?
Yes. Not long after that, then, we were sent back to Egypt by ship. No problem this time. We did some more touring around the area there. And then it was then given the information to the troops in general that those who spent long years abroad would be sent back to England.
Did you want to go back to England?
Yes, I wanted to go back.
Why was that? Was it just you'd had enough of being
abroad? Well, I think I'd had a fair share of my term abroad, including the UK holiday and a term in Nella Hall. That still counted abroad service, because I was still on the strength of the 1st Battalion in India. And at that time, it amounted that I'd been abroad 10 years. So, and also, several of the other band were also 6 years or more. So, myself and those were sent back to UK.
Roughly how many of you were there in that party?
I think there was seven of us altogether. When we got onto the troop ship, they always have a ship's sergeant major, and he said, "Yes, you're just the right amount of men I want." And it gave me a most unpleasant job for the rest of the journey, because on the ship there were some long-term British prisoners that had done crimes, got several years prison for going back to UK, and we was put on a mess deck with them to do escort to them. We had to sleep and feed with them, organise exercise for them during the day, and it wasn't a very pleasant job altogether.
Why do you think you were lumbered with that job?
Well, I don't think he just saw a sergeant come aboard with a small group of soldiers, and he thought, well, that was just the ideal number to look after these prisoners. So he didn't know I was a band sergeant or anything like that. He just saw a sergeant.
Just bad luck, then.
Yes.
Yeah. What sort of ship was it you were travelling on?
It was an old P&O ship. I think it was at the Strathmore. I think that was one of their ships. But it was exactly the same as any other troop ship inside where it had been converted.
Hammocks and mess tables and benches. Yes. And these men you were escorting, how many of them were there?
There was 10 of them. So there was more than what we were, really. But amongst them was one huge chap. He must have been about 6'6", broad, good-looking, obviously well-educated. What he'd done, I don't know. But he was a great help to me, because if any other prisoners started getting out of hand, he just told them to mind their P's and Q's.
Did they listen to him?
Listened to him. I don't think they would argue with him. One of the prisoners during the journey did get very much out of hand, and I had to report him, and they put him, what they call, was it the thing in the ship, in the brig?
The brig, yes.
Yeah, they put him in there for 5 days on bread and water.
What did he do?
He was misbehaving himself completely. Wouldn't do as he's told, and when we was putting up on escort, he was, for exercise and that, he wanted to wander away and wouldn't take any discipline at all.
Do you remember what regiment he was from?
No, I can't remember what regiment.
Do you know what he'd done?
No, I didn't inquire what they'd done. Mm. I know there were some drug smugglers amongst them. I do know that, but I didn't inquire what individually what any of them done. They didn't tell me either.
What sort of impression did you get of them generally, apart from this chap who was well educated and so tall?
Oh, they were pretty. The rest of them were pretty rough crew, and I don't know. There's just, I think there was petty criminals in their normal life. I should imagine so.
How long did the voyage take back to England?
Must have been about 2 weeks, because we went through the Mediterranean, and I think we must have gone almost to America. Without escort, by the way.
On your own?
On our own. And then we went northwards. I suppose it get away from many U-boats was around there, and I suppose it was quite a reasonable fast ship. And then we landed at Liverpool.
And that was in the autumn of 1944, was it?
It was in October, in actual fact. I might have got the wrong...
Oh, October 1943, was that? That you
was that
1943? 1943,
yes.
So it's October.
Yes. And incidentally, we were still dressed in KD.
Must have been rather cold when you got home.
Yes, at that time. And then we went by... I got rid of the prisoners there, and then we went down by train to London, and everybody was staring at us, you know, still dressed in KD.
So you got what happened when you arrived then? You arrived at Liverpool, and what did you have to do to get rid of these prisoners?
There was military police came and took them away.
Yeah. So they came onto the ship?
Yeah, they came on the ship. They must have been notified that they was there already.
Had you had to sign for them?
No, nothing. Unless it was just done with the ship's sergeant major, I don't know, because he was involved in this. Mm. So we handed them over, and then we was put on a train to London. Then from London we went to Clacton.
In Essex?
Yes. Yeah. Where there was a lot of houses had been requisitioned, and the whole street of it. And it was a unit for, I should say, like a transit camp. That you go there and get posted where there was vacancies somewhere where you was wanted. As it happened, the sergeant major there I knew very well.
Was because he a Duke of Cornwall's man?
He was a Duke of Cornwall's man, and he used to be a bugle major in India. So he said, well, you're likely to get posted anywhere. I said, right now. I said, where's the 2nd Battalion DCLI band? He said, oh, they're in Bodmin. I said, well, that's where we're going to get posted to, isn't it? And there we were.
He fixed it for you, did he?
Yeah. So we were then in Bodmin with the band there. And I was pretty run down at that time, you know, what with malaria there. I'd lost weight. There was no sergeant's mess in Bodmin, because the band was the only British troops there.
Who else was there?
About 5,000 Americans. we got on very well with them, really, because the 2nd Battalion DCLI had a very good dance band. They called themselves the Red Feathers. And in the local dance hall, there was dancers there. And then, of course, it was always the Americans turned up with their girlfriends and that. And they liked our band very much, in that effect.
What was your job in the band when you joined the 2nd Battalion band?
Well, they already had their own band sergeant. So he was in charge of the band, and I just sort of helped out. I played with them, just the same.
Did you remain a sergeant?
Yes.
You kept your rank?
Yes, I kept my rank.
So the band had two sergeants?
They had two sergeants, yes. Yeah. Because they didn't have a sergeant's mess, I had to live out. And there was another NCO in the band who was living in a house in the town there, and he said... the woman who owned it was a widow, and she's still got a spare room. I said, well, I said, she should put me up. Oh, she was only too pleased to do it. And she looked after me very well, Mills. And her relations were farmers, so I have to say so, we never went without anything. But I needed that to build myself up again.
What sort of food did she give you then? What was it, traditional Cornish things?
Oh, yes. I mean, there was no shortage of anything, really, as far as I was concerned. I mean, we always had butter on the table and anything you could think of. I was very fortunate with that.
What did you make of conditions in Britain generally as you were... What did you make of conditions in Britain generally as you were travelling through and living in Bodmin?
Well, in Bodmin, you didn't see very much, really. Except for the Americans, you wouldn't know there was a war. The band was also employed of these war-raising funds that happened all over England. And we did quite a number of those.
Playing concerts to
Yes, to the general
events.
Public,
yes.
This was. Yeah. We went different towns in Cornwall and Devon, and also a couple of times we came up to London as well. And then in...
Can I ask a bit more about the Americans? Do you remember which unit they were from or which outfit they were from?
I can't remember the units now, unfortunately not.
Do you remember seeing their badge at all, their shoulder badge or anything like that? Might give us a clue.
No, it's such a long time ago now, I'm afraid I've forgotten about that part.
Does the 29th Division, does that ring a bell? The Blue and Grey Division?
No, I can't honestly say that it was.
Do you know where they were from, most of the soldiers in this division? You must have met them occasionally, the Americans.
Well...
Do you know what part of America they were from?
No, I can't say that anymore.
But you had a good
time. No, we had good relations with them. But I mean, there was times that they did have a band that wasn't all that particularly good, and sometimes they was away, and then they had their special praise, like we have... Beaten Retreat.
Yes.
And they're very much the same type of thing. And we did the parade with them.
How did you get on with their drill?
We didn't have any problem with that. Mostly we were only standing still.
Oh, so you were standing there playing and they'd be doing the marching?
Yes, they were doing the marching.
Yeah.
In the new year, I forget exactly when it was, but it started in January, the rest of the 1st Battalion Band came back to England.
Back from the Middle East?
Back from the Middle East, because they were so much under strength they couldn't perform properly anymore.
How many of them were there at that stage?
There was just over 20 of them then.
And that was too small to make
up? That was too small, and some of their sort of instrument meant they said, come back with me. So decided to send them back. So we had then both battalion bands...
In Bodmin.
So, of course, I joined up again with the 1st Battalion Band. And so we went our individual ways on engagements, what had been happened before, going on these war fund things in different towns. And then in... Of course, the invasion started in June, and then in July, the 2nd Battalion Band had been warned that they were due to go to France. Several of their band were found to be unfit, including the band sergeant.
That's you?
No, the 2nd Battalion
Band. Oh, the 2nd Battalion Band sergeant. Mm. What was the matter with him?
Asthma. So... We was transferred over. I went to the 2nd Battalion Band and he went to the 1st Battalion Band. And to make up the strength, about 8 of the 1st Battalion Band went with me, which I was very pleased about because they was experienced abroad what it was going to be like, anything roughing it and that. So in August, we then, of course, there was a hold up in France, and they didn't make the big advance expected. So in August, we came up to Aldershot.
Did you know what was happening in France? Were you able to keep in touch with it? Were you able to find out what was going on in France?
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, the newspapers and radio was full of it, so we knew what was going on.
Of course, the 5th Battalion went to France,
The
5th it?
Battalion As went to France, yes. We never
Division.
Heard anything individually about them.
You didn't?
But only particularly as an army.
Right.
We was in tents.
At Aldershot.
In Aldershot. And mostly our time was taking playing troops to the railway station who was going to France. We're still waiting our turn.
Did you get an impression of how they felt about going to France?
Oh, I think
everybody
was quite keen on it, I still think. The Nella Hall had moved from Witten into Aldershot for the war, and I suppose it was the director of music there, I'm always remembering his name, Major Roberts, he decided to give us what we call a Nella Hall inspection.
What does that entail doing?
Well, this was a bit unfortunate because you usually get quite a bit of prior notice of these inspections and you get yourself prepared for it, and the bandmaster he selects a good piece of music which he conducts, and you learn it pretty thoroughly.
You work it up before the inspection.
Yes. But he didn't have all that time. We was just had to pitch up outside our tents and play. I think we had about 3 days' notice on this thing, and we went to the it's not the officers' club now, but the officers' club in Aldershot has been changed recently. So the bandmaster did his conducting of his piece, and then I was called on to conduct without having known what the music was about, which I thought was pretty drastic.
But you had learned to conduct, hadn't you?
Yes,
in
before.
India.
But then again, this was sight reading for me, conducting, and for the band itself.
Do you remember what piece of music it was?
Unfortunately, I can't. But the only thing I could remember that it was made up in different sections in time. In other words, you start off so many bars at 4/4 time, then it would change to 5/4 time, 6/4 time, which changed your conducting from a few bars every now and again. And it was a difficult piece for me to conduct, and also not only that conducting, you're supposed to practice the band. If they're not playing something right, you stop them and put them right and that type of thing. But anyway, I went through it, and we didn't play all of it, we played about half of it, and it was stopped. And my bandmaster, Mr. Dean, he was with the director of music, and he walked across to me, and I always remember his words. He says, you cut yourself a nice piece of cake. So
you did a good performance.
So I went back to and spoke with the director of music from Nella Hall, and he congratulated me on what I'd done.
Well, it sounds as though this was actually a more genuine test than the way you normally did it.
Yes.
You know, to be suddenly required to do something difficult is much more of a test than doing something you practice, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is, yes. Yeah. And of course we got this in writing afterwards, and it was all in there, you know, the report. And also we had to do marching outside afterwards,
yeah,
which I took them in. So we got a very good report. Then, it wasn't long after that, we then got the orders that the armies had did their big push forward, and they'd actually went through France pretty quick then and got into Belgium. So we got our orders then, we're going to France.
That was in September 1944.
Yes. Mm. So all the band instruments and the library and all that was put on one lorry, which I had to go with, and I went with this lorry to Gosport. Now the rest of the band went a different way. Eventually they went by ship then to Le Havre.
Where did you go? Which way did you take?
Well, I got dumped that day in on the docks in Gosport, on the dock side, everything unloaded and just left me there. The only thing I had was other sack rations at that time. So I was there all night. I did find some watchmen, managed to scrounge some, a cup of tea off them, and just wondered what was going to happen. Anyway, next morning, another lorry turned up with the tea party, everything loaded onto it, and then we went onto one of these vehicle landing crafts.
Probably a landing craft tank.
Yeah, I can't remember what the name, but anyway, the vehicles on that. And we then did a night journey across the channel.
What was the weather like for that?
Weather
crossing
was quite good, fortunately. Quite good. And down below, I had the best bed on the ship that I'd had so far. A proper bunk. I thought, well, this is an improvement to troop ships. And then we landed next morning on the Mulberry Harbour, which was I was wondering whether we were going to tip over and go into the sea while going on this thing.
Why was that? Was it moving about?
Yeah, it just wasn't quite firm, but anyway, it was no incident with it, but I mean, you just looked over the side and it's on, then it was the sea, and you was going on with this sort of built up harbour thing. Right, we went inland, or not very far, into a farm, and I was then put into a barn where all the instruments and
do you know where you were or where you were headed, which direction you were going in once you got ashore?
We was near Caen.
You were near Caen?
Yes,
yeah.
And I stayed there I think it was 2 days.
Is that just you on your own, or you with...
Well, there was a camp there, like, with other things, but in this barn, I was on my own. Mm. Now, having been abroad before with Rostain, that I had already had tea-making facilities, my primer stove and all that in the bank kit, so I just took it out and looked after myself.
Do you see anything of the French civilian population?
No, not there? There, I didn't. Mm. Really, in this barn, I think the barn was completely... the farm was deserted, I think. Then got the orders to move again, everything loaded on, and when the small convoy went up the coast, and there we did see remains of the battle and all that, burnt out vehicles and tanks and that, and all along the road was white taped signs of mines either side of it, so you didn't wander. And my destination was Le Havre. I didn't know where the band were. But as I got to the outskirts of the town, just a built-up area, I saw one of my corporals there, standing in the road, looked out, and he waved me down. He says, "We're all on a train waiting for you. We're moving up to Belgium." Mm-hmm. So he jumped aboard, and we went straight onto this train, and went straight into Belgium.
When you got off the landing craft on the Mulberry Harbour, how did your driver know where to go? Who gave him instructions?
There was there was always a beach master there, and then there was another I think it was a jeep there at that time. We had to follow him through the safe area to go to the farm, in case there was any mines or anything that you wander off to.
Who did you have to report to when you got to the barn?
There was a sergeant major there, everybody seemed to know that we was coming. It wasn't sort of out of the blue. And he said to me, he said, well, we've decided to put you in this barn for safekeeping with all your stores and that.
Sounds like it was a very well organised.
Yes, move, yes, it seemed. Yes, it was.
You went separately, but you actually RV'd with the rest of the band at the right place, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was all arranged. Behind the scenes, somebody was doing their job.
Staff work had been properly done.
Yes.
Okay. So, you what sort of train were you put onto at Le Havre? What sort of train?
It was a normal. It wasn't a normal passenger train. We were in cattle wagons, you know, transport things. And we just, there was nowhere to sit down. We sat on the floor and waited. You got to your destination.
How long were you on the train?
Oh, practically all day. And it was quite late evening when we got into Belgium. I can't remember the name of the place, but it was just south of Brussels. And there,
somewhere near Waterloo, then.
Yes. Once again, there was a tented camp there, and we seemed to be expected because we nominated the tents to put in, one for their band stores and the rest for our sleeping accommodation. And then, once again, we then went into Brussels a couple of times, played to the population there, which was very appreciated there, and also some surrounding troops. Now, we didn't stay there in that place too long. We then got moved by road transport to Borg Leopold, in the very old barracks.
Was this an old Belgian barracks you were in?
Old Belgian barracks there.
How did that compare to your own barracks back home in Bodmin?
Well, Bodmin was pretty basic as well.
Was it a similar sort of style of building? And
yes,
layout?
Yes.
But you were under hard cover there.
Oh yeah, I was under cover. That's all we was pleased about. We did travel around to different troops around there, and at about that time the push was put onto the Arnhem affair, and you might just say the British had made a corridor right up to through Belgium into Holland there, and either side of it, this passage through, was the Germans were still there. But anyway, we got orders then to moved to a place called Grave.
Yeah.
So just south of Nijmegen. In our transport, there was only about six lorries going up, and the drivers just put their foot down and went like hell.
Was the road clear?
The road was clear, but they said, you could be under observation from the Germans and get shelled. We was well spaced out, and the drivers just went hell for leather.
Were you shelled at all?
No, we wasn't as it happened.
Now, another thing the Germans were doing at the time was infiltrating back, and sometimes they were putting up ambushes across the road. Did you see any signs of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we got through without any trouble as it happened.
You did, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you get on with the Dutch population?
Later on, quite well. Yes, we found got on right with the Dutch people. We then took was there was a large monastery in Grave, and a part of it had been taken over by the army, and the Rear HQ of 30 Corps was in there, and that's who we was with. And incidentally, it wasn't long afterwards we had to do a church service there, one of our drumhead services, and who came along was General Horrocks. And he said, oh, we meet up again. He said, you was in the desert with us, wasn't you? So he remembered us.
Did he seem to be fit and happy?
Yes. Oh, yes, he did do. From there, there was the Arnhem thing had collapsed, and a number of the parachute troops had made their way back, and